We've been teaching on the subject of measuring our spiritual maturity or growing in our spiritual maturity. That's been our subject over the last 2 weeks. And we're going to continue with one more area of maturity, a challenge, which I will introduce in just a moment. But just let me recap for a second where we've been with this subject. We've been talking about for the last 2 weeks about growing in faith, in a mature faith, and also growing in a mature love. And this is not to say that we don't have faith or we don't have love. Most of us in this room, I'm sure all of us, have a certain amount of faith. And we have certainly have a lot of love for our family, for our loved ones, and for God. But you see, the point is God challenges us to grow in those areas. He doesn't just leave us where he found us. He wants us to develop those things because the world needs people who are grown up in their faith, especially right now. The world is not going to be impressed with a mamby-pamby kind of weak faith. Come on. About Christians who are afraid of their own shadow. Come on now. The world needs to see some strong people of God, strong in faith, mature in love, people who have genuine love. People who look and sound and act like Jesus. Amen? We're not going to be able to do this without him. We've got to allow Jesus to challenge us and then to respond to his commands to grow in faith. We know that faith grows from the word. Faith grows through practice, through exercise. When you use your faith a little bit, it gets stronger. You use it again tomorrow and the next day, it keeps growing incrementally. Love keeps growing. The more you surrender to God, the more you realize how much God loves you. And the more secure you become in God's love, the more love you're able to give away. You've got to know, first of all, how much God loves you. You got to understand that there's nobody in this whole world who has your best interest in mind like God does. He loves you. He has a good plan for your life. He was willing to lay down his life for your life. There's no greater love than this, the Bible says, that a man would give his life for his friends. But Christ gave his life even for his enemies, not just for his friends. He died and laid down while we were yet sinners, the Bible says. Christ died for us. The theme verse we have been using is Hebrews 6, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. And I've been reading this from the New American Standard Bible. Hebrews 6, 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity. Everybody say that with me. Let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. In other words, I hope and pray that none of us are at that place in our spiritual journey where we have to start all over every few weeks. You know, we're doing fine, and then all of a sudden something comes along that trips us up, the same old habit, the same old problem, the same person who keeps irritating us. It could be a relative. It could be a spouse who gets on our nerves, our boss, whatever it is. Same temptation comes along, and we trip over it again. So Paul is saying to the church, we've got to leave those things behind. We don't want to get saved every week, right? We don't want to have to go back and repent and start all over again, get baptized in water all over again. We want to move on to maturity. We want to be grown up in our faith and in our love. And as I said before, this is what the world needs right now. If there has ever, ever been a time when the world needs to see this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's right now. The world needs to see some good examples of godliness, of people who have some courage, some faith, some hope. External religion will not get the job done. There are a lot of religious people in the world, but not every religious person has the love of God in their heart. Not every religious person is basing their life on the Bible. There's a lot of philosophies out there. There's a lot of ideas, religious ideas. But we believe in Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father, Jesus said, except through me. Somebody say amen. Religion won't get it done. Here's what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. If you're writing these down, Galatians 5, verse 6. For when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, this is the amplified version, it's not about how religious you think you are. neither whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, because the Jewish people had a very, very strict rule about circumcision, and that meant a lot to them. He says, what is important is faith that works through love. So you have faith, now operate your faith, use your faith in a loving way to make a difference in the world. I want to say that again. Use your faith, operate your faith in love to touch the world. Have the belief that your love will make a difference. Have a belief that if you share your life, that God will answer your prayers, that your words of truth, your reciting the scripture, you're sharing the truth with people will make a difference. So do your work for God in faith and in love. This is what your community needs. If there are broken relationships, faith and love will mend those relationships. The world needs to hear there is a way of forgiveness. Everybody is taking sides right now. How many of you know? You turn the news on, everybody has an opinion. Oh, my goodness. I could, you know, get off on a little rabbit trail here talking about the media and all of that. Don't get me started. Somebody say, don't get me started. But the media is not going to heal a broken relationship. Politics is not going to heal your broken relationship or your broken heart. Hollywood is not going to heal your broken heart. Television is not going to heal your broken heart. Jesus can heal your broken heart. Hallelujah. Jesus can heal your broken heart. What the world needs is Jesus. Just a glimpse of him. He provides a way of forgiveness. How many people do you know that need forgiveness? They only wish in their heart that somebody would wipe the slate clean. That somebody would give them the hope of a new beginning. But the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. He is the hope for a better tomorrow. Somebody say amen. So are you growing more mature in your faith and love? Are you ready for the adventure? If your life is boring, I want to tell you that's not God's fault. Ever since I gave my life to Jesus when I was 17 years old, I have never been bored with my Christian life. Never been bored. It has been an adventure. Everybody say an adventure. But the question is, can he count on us? I believe, and I said this last week, I heard a voice from heaven, not an audible voice, but in my heart I heard the voice of God saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? Who will represent me in this very divided, bitter time in American culture where people are taking sides, where there is racism and politics and hatred and division and on and on and on it goes. And there are a lot of forces at work that want to destroy this country. Don't doubt it. And the things that we stand for in a Christian way. I'm not talking about the wealth or the prejudice and the arrogance. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Christian values. Come on. The Christian values that we stand for are worth standing up for. Come on now. Can God count on us as we follow him out of our childhood and into our manhood or womanhood? Wow. Picture yourself following Jesus. And as Paul said, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man or a woman or an adult, I put childish ways behind me. Who is out there this morning watching on Facebook who's willing to follow Jesus out of our spiritual infancy, out of our spiritual babyhood, into a grown-up relationship with God, where God can count on us, where we take responsibility? If we say something, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. Hallelujah. We keep our word. We don't keep on backsliding. We don't say one thing with our mouth and then do something in our actions. Come on now. And that leads me to what I want to share about today, the third area of spiritual maturity that we need to be challenged is the area of obedience. Everybody say obedience. We need faith, love, and obedience. These are probably the three most important measures of how you're growing with God. If you were to measure yourself, you know, you're 5 feet two or 5 feet eight or whatever. Well, if you want to measure yourself spiritually, of course, use the Bible, right? And ask the Holy Spirit to shine his light on your heart. That's how you measure yourself spiritually. But the way God looks at that is that faith is growing, love is growing, and obedience is growing. That's how God says to you, attaboy, you're doing it. Hallelujah, you're growing. He's looking for our faith, he's looking for our love, and he's looking for our obedience. A mature follower of Christ, in addition to having faith and love, will also demonstrate mature obedience. Since we are God's children, we need to be nurtured, taught, and guided by our Heavenly Father. None of us are born again as adults. I don't mean when you are born again. I'm talking about as you start your spiritual journey, you start off as a baby. The Bible says, be born again, right? Be born again by the Spirit. And when God comes into our life, we don't start off as mature, seasoned men and women, veterans of God. We start off as babies. And guess what? In God's eyes, we're all his children. And he's our father. He's the father of all of us. So the idea is that we've got to grow from looking at our Heavenly Father just as a child is nurtured by his parents. We must be nurtured to become like our Father in heaven. So obedience is an integral part of that training. Obedience to God, just like a child, a child never obeys you. How many of you know a child's going to get in a lot of trouble? You know, there's a story told about a stubborn young man who, you know, was always acting out. His mother said, I'm going to put you in the corner if you don't behave. I'm going to put you in the naughty corner. And finally, he did it again. He pulled his sister's hair or hit his brother with a hammer, you know, the toy hammer, not a real hammer. How do you know there's a fallen nature? You know, the Bible talks about the ingrained fallen nature. You see children fighting over toys. Who taught them that, you know? And we have to teach them how to be good, right? You don't have to teach them how to be bad. They act bad anyway, you know? So finally she said, that's it. When you are in so much trouble. Grudgingly, he sat down in the corner. She says, are you learning anything? He says, no, I'm standing up inside. He said, I'm sitting down, but I may be sitting down physically, but inside I'm standing up. You talk about rebellious. Ay, ay, ay. Solomon says, even the character of a child, this is Proverbs 20:11. Even the character of a child is known by the way he or she acts. You know, you could look at a child and say, oh, what a wonderful child, what a beautiful child, what a delightful child, until you find out how they act. Even the character of a child is known by what he does, how he acts, whether he does what is pure and what is right. Proverbs 20:11. So we need to grow in the lifestyle of obedience. Just as when we were children, we listened to our parents were looking out for us, they taught us our first lessons. The first imprint on our life was our parents, right? And hopefully it was a good imprint on your life. But as Christians, no matter what age you are, there are some people who come to God at 50, some at 10, some at 60, 70, 80 years old. But no matter what physical age you are, we all need to grow from obeying God as our Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit will help us as we open God's Word. These are two of the most dynamic ways that you grow, by the Word and by the Holy Spirit. Everybody write that down. By the Word and by the Spirit is how you grow. You open the Bible and you ask the Holy Spirit, make this real for me. Help me to remember these words. Put this word into my heart, Lord, so that it changes me. I don't want to just read something and then go out and be the same person I was. I want to remember your word when I'm faced with temptation. I want to remember your word when the bills come due. I want to remember when people falsely accuse me or people don't like me or my boss yells at me. I've got to remember in my heart what you've said in your word, and that takes the Holy Spirit. A lot of people have loads of scriptures memorized, and I commend you for memorizing the Bible. But the Holy Spirit has the agency of God to transform you into a child of God. Just like Jesus was born in the Virgin Mary through the Holy Spirit, so is Christ born in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me this morning? It takes the Word and the Holy Spirit working together to transform us and make us grown up. Jesus said it this way in John 15. He said, "If you love me, obey what I command. When you obey my commands, you will be living in my love, just as I obey my Father's commands and live in his love." Notice that Jesus illustrates the same thing that I was just talking about. He says, I obey my Father, so you also need to obey me as I obey my Father, because I'm a reflection of the Father. If you want to know what God the Father is like, look at Jesus. Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father, John 14. So, but the idea is, Jesus, who was God in the flesh, still had to obey and grow in the sense of fulfilling his mission. It's not that he had any inherent sin, but the fact was that he was all God and all man when he was incarnated. He was 100% God, 100% man, and he won this victory, and he obeyed the Father as a human being, not just as God. He succeeded in resisting temptation. He succeeded in overcoming the devil. He succeeded in fulfilling his mission as a man, as the Son of Man. He called himself the Son of Man, the archetype of man. You see what I'm saying here? He was an example for us. I'll say it again. John 15 is also in John 13, too. If you love me, obey what I command. When you obey my commands, you are living in my love, just as I obey my Father's commands and live in his love. So Jesus, who was sinless, still provided an example for us in obedience. He wasn't a naughty child. He didn't need to sit in the naughty corner. But he did have to submit to his parents. He did have to obey his parents. He had to learn, even through his suffering, obedience. The Bible says he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Wow. Wow. Now, but there's a problem with obedience. Everybody say, there's a problem with obedience. I'm glad you asked that question. Oh, I was supposed to say, what's the problem with obedience? Some have a terrible mistrust of authority. And I'll tell you why. The Bible says, parents, do not be overly harsh with your children and exasperate them, making them angry. Now, you may have had the most perfect parents who knew how to balance discipline and love, you know? And maybe you as a parent, you're looking back over your life, you say, you know, I wish I could have done a little bit better in this area. And we all have, you know, second-guessed ourselves. But here's the thing. There are some children who have really been scarred because they were children of parents who didn't have the love of God in their hearts. And they just barked out orders. They just commanded them, do this, you do that, and you're no good, and you spilled your milk, and go to your room. And there was rules without a relationship. Rules without a relationship leads to rebellion. Rules without a relationship leads to rebellion. What God's saying in his example is, you're my children. I love you. I'm going to train you in what's best. I'm going to look out for you. And if you mess up, that's okay. I'll come and kiss the boo-boo. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not just interested in training us and disciplining us. He's interested in our well-being. He wants us to be the best, whatever your name is. You know, David or Angela, he wants to be, or Lord as, he wants you to be the best Lord as you can be. Or the best John you could be. He's not, his discipline is not angry. He's not taking out his anger on you. Come on now. How many of you parents, being honest, sometimes you discipline your child and you are angry and it just you knew it was not the right way. I've done it. I've done it. And God's convicted me. Don't discipline that way. Make sure you give 3 teaspoons of love for every teaspoon of vinegar. Amen? Come on. As a result, there are a lot of adults who don't trust authority because the authority figures in their life were very mean, very harsh. But that does not, cancel the idea of real loving authority. You know what I'm saying? The answer for, a bad breakfast is not to ever have breakfast again. It's to not burn the toast next time, you know? If you've burned the toast one time, you don't stop eating breakfast. Come on now. I love breakfast, by the way. But the answer for wrong authority, harsh authority, is not no authority. You see what I'm trying to get at? There are some people who won't listen to anybody because they mistrust everybody. You know, and there's been women that have been way mistreated and abused by men. And so now they don't trust any men. And they're likewise men who've been really beat down by their fathers. And what happens is they end up propagating that towards their own children sometimes. But that's a whole subject all by itself. On the other hand, with all the love we need and how much God looks out for us, let's not use that as an excuse to keep on sinning on purpose. Because there are some kids who are just lazy. Come on now. Here's the other side of the coin. You know, I don't want to do my homework. Well, why don't you want? Because I don't like homework. Well, you're going to have to do your homework. I don't want to do my homework. Why not? I don't like homework. Well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to do your homework. That's not a question of having more love. It's a question of whose will is going to prevail. The will of the Father or your own will? Come on. Jesus says we cannot be his friends or followers if we don't obey him. If you love me, Jesus said, obey what I command. But the cool thing about this is that his commandments are not heavy legalistic burdens like the Pharisees would try to put on the people. The Pharisees would put all these burdens on people. You can't only walk a certain amount of distance during the Sabbath. You can't do anything. You can't touch anything. You can't work. You got to separate the kosher from non-kosher. You got all these rules to follow. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. He said, my commandments are not burdensome. John the Apostle teaches true love for God means obeying his commands. This is in 1 John. I don't know, I didn't write down what chapter, but it's in 1 John. True love for God means obeying his commands, and his commands are not too burdensome. They are not too heavy. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have hope and salvation and might be free from their burden of sin. And free from the legalistic condemnation of religion. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus came to set us free from those things. That we might enjoy our Father in heaven. And know how much he loves us. But it takes attentiveness to God to grow in obedience. In Hebrews chapter 12, my child, verse 6. My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves and chastens each one he accepts as his child. I've often said this. People don't discipline their neighbor's kids. You discipline your own kids. If your neighbor tries to discipline your kids, he gets arrested. Somebody say amen. Probably. But God disciplines us because we're his kids. And he wants us to do well. He wants what is best. You cannot doubt God's motives. Satan's always trying to get us to doubt God's motives. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say you shouldn't eat? Doesn't God know you're going to become more wise by eating this fruit? God is trying to cheat you. God is trying to hide something from you. He's trying to withhold something. But that is so wrong. No good thing will he withhold, the Bible says, from those who walk uprightly. God has the best for you. So I'm going to close right now, but I'm going to give you some examples of disobedience and incomplete obedience and grudging obedience, because it's not just a matter of disobedience. A lot of times, you know, we're obeying God, but we're not completely obeying God. You know, it's like the guy, you know, his father told Jose, go out and wash the car. Make sure you clean everything, vacuum it out, you know, and I'm gonna give you $10 allowance for cleaning the car for me today. Maybe get Juan to do that for you one day, okay, brother? So he comes back, and the car outside is all shiny and everything. He says, oh, did you vacuum it? No. Why not? I don't want to vacuum the car. Well, you're not getting the $10. Come on, that's incomplete obedience. Somebody say amen. There's a partial obedience. And then there's Peter, who, you know, had a very bad habit of saying no to Jesus. How many of you know it's an oxymoron to say, no, Lord? You call me Lord, right? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say? You know the story. Peter was asked by the Lord, you know, who do men say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, and so on. And then Peter began to say, he says, now I'm going to be going up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be handed over to the religious leaders. I'll be crucified. And Peter was like going berserk. And he grabs Jesus, and it literally says he began to rebuke Jesus and say, not so, Lord. And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Woo. You know, it's one thing to have a friend say, get thee behind me, Satan. When Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan, you know you've really messed up really bad. So, you know, why are you calling me Lord? Then another time in Acts chapter 10, Peter had the vision of, you know, he was about to go to the house of Cornelius, and he saw the animals coming down from heaven, the non-kosher animals, unclean animals. And God was trying to speak to Peter about accepting the Gentile believers. And he was very strict. He felt like everything had to be within the Jewish paradigm, the Jewish context. And God was saying, you got to expand your thinking here. I'm trying to reach the whole world, not just the Jewish people, but all the Gentiles. And so he saw these unclean animals, and God said in this vision, Peter, get up and eat, participate, have some of these animals to eat. And he tells the Lord, no way, Lord, no way. I have never eaten any unkosher food. But he found out that God was trying to reach the Gentiles. So you don't want to say, no way, Lord, amen? And then there's incomplete obedience with King Saul. You know, when Samuel the prophet told him, I want you to make war against the Amalekites and destroy them because they have been enemies of God. They have afflicted God's people, and they've killed the Israelites and all of these things. And Saul comes back, and he saves some of the spoils from the war. And he said to himself, he said, well, Samuel said to destroy everything, but I'd rather keep some of these items for myself. Maybe I can use them in God's service. So he rationalized that he was going to use these animals, the best of the animals and the best of what he saved from the Amalekites for God's purpose. But Samuel said these words. Samuel said, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of God? You know these words. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed God's voice is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So Saul, you're already cultivating something inside of you that needs a deeper work of grace. And I want to close now, but I want to tell you these things because I've been feeling in my own personal life, and Pastor Angela also has borne witness, that God's been at work during this pandemic. God's been trying to do a deeper work inside of me. And I think it's because He's caught my attention with the severity of the crisis and how difficult the times are right now. So it's kind of caught my attention. And I'm saying, what kind of man do I need to be right now? What type of Christian do I need to be so I can really be a blessing to this world? Well, I can tell you for sure, I need to be an obedient one. I need to be a man of faith. I need to be a man of love. And I also need to be a person who obeys God completely, not just half-heartedly, not grudgingly, but all the way. Hallelujah. King David was an imperfect man, as you know. He committed adultery. He plotted Uriah's murder. He numbered the troops. He committed a number of very serious sins, but yet he repented, and he got his heart right, and he kept on obeying God. And his legacy was that he was a man after God's heart. And I love this, who obeyed all of his will. All of his will. Hallelujah. And he served his generation. That's the kind of legacy I want to have. I want to be a person who's after God's heart. I want to obey all of his will. And I want to serve my generation. Would you stand with me right now? Hallelujah. Give God some praise in the house. Give the glory to God. Give him the glory. Come on, lift your hands and praise him right now. Hallelujah. Lord, you haven't given up on us, oh Lord. And we're not going to give up on our families. We're not going to give up on this world. We believe you have called us. You have called us, oh God, into the church and into the family of God for such a time as this. God is looking for people who will represent him in their neighborhood, in the job, the supermarket, on the bus, wherever you go, in your family. God is looking for a man or woman that he could trust. And if he finds somebody he can trust, fasten your seatbelt because you're in for a great adventure. Hallelujah. You are in for a great adventure. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't want to hold back. I want to grow in love. I want you to think for a moment before we close. I want you to think for a moment, where in my life is God asking me to grow in faith, to grow in love, or to grow in obedience? What if I were to put those three things up as a measurement of my life, where do I need to grow, Lord? The way I speak, the way I think, the way I act, my habits or lack of good habits. Hallelujah. God, search my heart. Would you put your hand on your heart for a second and just say this quietly to yourself? God, search my heart. Search my heart, God. Maybe you're here today and you're not even sure that your sins are forgiven. You're not sure that you're born again. I want to pray right now, and those who are watching on Facebook, I want to say a simple prayer so you can be sure to know that your sins are forgiven. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that he is the Son of God, that he is the only remedy for our sins, if you believe that, you put your trust in him, you will be saved. So I'm going to ask you to just say the simple prayer with me. If you're not sure if Christ is in your heart, if you have truly let him be the Lord of your life, you respect him, you might be a religious person, you might be a very godly person in a sense that you're a good person to your family, you don't have any terrible habits, but you just have this question mark right now, is Jesus in the driver's seat in my life? Is he the Lord? Is he the boss? Have I given him my heart? Would you say this simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. I declare with my mouth, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came into this world to save sinners, to forgive our sins. I ask you to forgive all my sins right now. I'm not saved by my good works or by giving to charity. I'm saved by trusting in you. Today I confess with my mouth.
Today I confess with my mouth.
You are the Lord of my life.
You are the Lord of my life.
Wash away my sins, Lord.
Wash away my sins.
Live your life in me, Lord.
Live your life in me.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. Make yourself real to me. and I will serve you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's put the words up, Jimmy. Can we put the words up? Here I am, and I long to do your will. What a perfect song to close this service. Pastor Angela, join me here. Come on, Brother Angel, help me with this song.
Here I am.
Present yourself to the Lord. Here I am, Lord.
And I long to do your will. Here I am. I'll follow your command.
I'll obey you, Lord.
Here I am until my calling is fulfilled. Here I am. Here I am.
Can we go back to one of the verses, Angel? Can we go back to...
You have placed your holy word?
Yes, yes. You have placed your holy word within me. I love the words of this song.
You have placed your holy word within me.
Your book of truth.
Your book of truth is living in my heart. Written on each page from the beginning.
There's a call. I'm called.
There's a call for me to do.
Jesus needs you. He needs you in his family.
Here I am, and I long to do your will. Here I am, I'll follow your command. Here I am until my calling is fulfilled. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am.
Lord, I want to be a grown-up who follows you out of childhood into adulthood spiritually. I want to follow Jesus. I hope that's your heart desire today. I'm going to ask Pastor Angela to close this morning.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great word. You know, I love this song where it says, I'm going to stay until my calling is fulfilled. Because it's very easy when life gets difficult to change our minds or to back away. Or to not obey fully. But I don't know about you this morning, but I want to say more than ever, I want to stand. I want to be mature. And I even asked the Lord, and I want to challenge you right now while we're praying this. Is there a place in your life that you feel God speaking to you about? You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm doing it in front of a lot of people. I need to be kinder with my words sometimes. Sometimes I'm very nasty. And I feel convicted after, but I do it again. And I'm asking the Lord to help me with that. I'm asking the Lord to help me. I want you, may have similar or you may have another thing, but you know what? We can. How do you eat an elephant, they say, a bite at a time. So we may be saying, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And yet the simplest things he brings to our mind, we don't change. So I want to say that I have a fresh mouth sometimes, a little bit of a spiteful nature. I've gotten better, but I want, right, hon?
Yes, almost perfect.
Oh, no. I'm just being honest so that hopefully you will be. If there are areas we're deluding ourselves, we're not fooling anybody. We're not fooling God. Let's just ask him right now. Let's take a moment of reflection before we walk out and have lunch and move on with the day. God.
One second. I just want to add that this may be the turning point, the crossroad, because God is waiting for this area to be dealt with in order to give you a greater sphere of ministry.
That's right. That's
and a
right.
greater sense of responsibility
yes.
in his
yes.
house.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But he's got to get this deeper work done in this area of our life, in Jesus' name.
I agree with that. eye has not seen, neither has any ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. It may seem like discipline, but it's for a great reason. Great fulfillment of the desires God has placed in your heart. Nobody knows you like Jesus. So would you take a moment of reflection and honesty? And in those areas that, this is not the only area for me, but it is a big one I'm struggling with. Would you ask the Lord honestly? Say, Lord, I open my heart to you. I may be even walking away from these things myself or making excuses. This is me. I got to be this way. No, we don't, Lord. Your Holy Spirit can heal us. Your Holy Spirit, as Pastor said, can help us. As we read your word, Lord, I will not make a nasty mouth greater than the Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, I ask you to help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And help my brothers and sisters who are honest before you right now. Lord, I believe, I sense in this room that there are people who are very sincere. And those watching who say, God, I want help in this area. I want to mature. I don't want to keep going back to babyhood when I don't get my own way. It's like saying, I'm not getting my own way. Lord, I want to grow up in you so that I can fulfill my calling and my mission, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless these beautiful people, Lord. I bless them in your name, Lord. How precious, in Jesus' name.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you. Sing it. You are my hiding place, O God. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Lift your hand with me, saying, you are my hiding place, Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart.
You always fill my heart
with songs of deliverance.
With songs of deliverance.
Whenever I am afraid.
Whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you.
Hallelujah.
I will trust in you.
Let the weak say I am strong.
Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the
Hallelujah. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or even imagine, according to his great power that is at work within us, to him be glory for endless generations in Christ Jesus and in the church. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Brother Angel. God bless you, brother. Amen, amen. If you're with your family, at least hug your family, okay? I know you can't hug strangers, but hug your family. Nothing wrong with that. Where are you, my family? Yes, yes, yes.